Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service. Today we'll read text 9. Dharamasya hyapavargasya nartvartai upakalpate nartasya dharmai kantasya kamo labhaya hi smrita. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So you can see, it's very much continuing the theme that has been there the last few days, the verses we've read. So purport by Srila Prabhupada. We have already discussed that pure devotional service to the Lord is automatically followed by perfect knowledge and detachment from material existence. But there are others who consider that all kinds of different occupational engagements, including those of religion, are meant for material gain. The general tendency of any ordinary man in any part of the world is to gain some material profit in exchange for religious or any other occupational service. Even in the Vedic literatures, for all sorts of religious performances, an allurement of material gain is offered, and most people are attracted by such allurements or blessings of religiosity. Why are such so-called men of religion allured by material gain? Because material gain can enable one to fulfill desires, which in turn satisfy sense gratification. This cycle of occupational engagements includes so-called religiosity followed by material gain, and material gain followed by fulfillment of desires. Sense gratification is the general way for all sorts of fully occupied men. But in the statement of Suta Goswami, as per the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is nullified by the present shloka. One should not engage himself in any sort of occupational service for material gain only, nor should material gain be utilized for sense gratification. How material gain should be utilized is described as follows. Okay. So let me read the verse again. Dharmasya hyapavargasya nartvartai upakalpate dharmasya dharmai kantasya kamo labhaya hi smrita. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Bhastachyade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasani Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, so this is very much continuing the theme we've been discussing for the last few days, reading the subsequent verses, the previous verses from this chapter. And as we've mentioned a couple of times, this chapter is something like an introduction to the complete text. So all the different nuances and different points that are made, that come up throughout the greater Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is a very large literature. So they're touched on here and pointed out, as we've seen over the last few verses, and this is also very emphatic. No, as they say, beating around the bush, but really just cutting through the veils of illusion which are here in this material world, and by which so many people are extremely confused, even including people who are religiously minded by worldly standards, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out here very clearly. Yes, so, first thing we can note again is that this term dharma, which appears twice in this verse and in the previous verse, and not actually exactly in the verse before that, but certainly the first verse that we read, which was verse 6, so in other words, repeatedly this term dharma is coming up. And Srila Prabhupada is translating this term dharma in the broadest and most classical sense, which is not just religion, that we go to the temple or whatever church or something, and we do some religious performance, some ritual, some ceremony, some sort of program goes on there, and we think, yes, this is dharma. Of course, according to a certain understanding, not just a certain understanding, but according to a secondary understanding of this word dharma as a Sanskrit word, in secondary terms, religion, religiosity, religious activity like that is a meaning of the word dharma. Sanskrit is such a language. You see it in English, of course, to some degree, and to some degree in any language. But in Sanskrit, it's very, very prominent that words, Sanskrit words, have a number of meanings. At least many. Many. Not all. But many words have a number of meanings. But these meanings are graded. Means there is always a primary meaning. And then there is usually, if not always, a number of secondary meanings. So, if you just look into Sanskrit a little bit, then you'll see this is a very prominent feature of the language. And generally, of course, the primary meaning is the meaning in terms of how the word may appear in a particular sentence. But Jiva Goswami, in Tattva Sandarbha, he discusses this point that sometimes you find sentences, statements, verses in the Vedic literatures in which a certain word appears, and if you use the classical main primary, it's called the primary meaning of the word, then in a sort of contextual sense of the overall what's being said there in the verse or in a sequence of verses, then you'll see that if the primary meaning is used, it throws everything out and just doesn't make sense. So in that case, Jiva Goswami says, then you have to use a secondary meaning. And contextually, you have to figure out what the which of the usually a number of secondary meanings is appropriate. And, you know, it's also there in English to some degree. Particularly, well, it is, anyway. You know, like in the spoken use of English, we threw the ball, or we went through the tunnel, at least verbally, I mean, in the spoken form, you're saying the same thing. But of course, contextually, you can see that there's different meanings, obviously. So it's like, so here, yes, the term dharma is meaning occupational duties, your work, and the way your life is organized, which is generally based on your work. Yeah, varnashram dharma. Even, you know, in India today, still they use the term varnashram dharma. To some degree, and so many people understand that dharma in that sense includes your occupation, or necessarily your occupational activities are there, and that's part of your foundational relationship with the Supreme Lord, actually. So anyway, okay. So this verse then, yesterday we heard how any dharma, any occupational duty, which does not help you develop an attraction for hearing about the Lord, is what? Shrama, eva, hi, keva, lam. What a strong statement. Shrama, useless waste of time. Eva, only. Hi, definitely. Kevalam, only. It would be hard to put it in more strongly. You know, it's almost an overkill as it stands. But at least we can say it is graphically clear in the extreme. It's really, but really, a waste of time to be thrown out the window. So here then, the point is being extended. You know, each verse is taking us a step further into like the heart of the subject matter. And this verse is saying that any occupational duty, any dharma, should be, or not just should be, but is certainly, well, the term he is used again, which is a term of emphasis meaning definitely, certainly, yeah. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. So any dharma, any occupational engagement is definitely meant for apavarga, means liberation. Apavarga. You know, I don't know if I can remember it all, but there is, and Prabhupada gives, and it's just Vedic anyway, what would you say, it's an extrapolation, more or less, on the first five letters of the Sanskrit alphabet. Pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. These letters. Pa and pa. You know, pa and pha. And ba and bha. So there's an extrapolation in how it goes, my gosh. How does it go? Anyone remember? Pa means parishrama, I think, which means hard labor. Pa means pena, P-H, pena. Pena means foaming at the mouth because of the hard labor. Ba, ba means, what does ba mean? Sure. You know, I forget what ba, B-A stands for, but ba, B-H-A, is bhaya, fear. And ba, sure. It's something like exhaustion. Anyway, I forget the Sanskrit term. So ba signifies exhaustion. Ba is bhaya, fear. And ma is mrityu, or death. So this is the process of material existence. This is the process of material existence. And some people might think that this is putting it very strongly. You know, hard labor, foaming at the mouth, anxiety. Well, anyway, something like that. Then fear, and then death. And actually it is. If you analyze it, this is what's going on in material existence. And you even get some of these diehards who, they come to the point of retiring, and they actually have enough money to retire, but they can't. They have to keep working because, you know, got to keep busy, you know, something like that. Well, if the alternative to that is just sitting at home and watching television and just, you know, slowly dying, fading out, well, to do something at least is generally better. But to do something useless, or, you know, worse than useless, something which is actually bad for you, is not a very intelligent thing to do. So, but for the devotees, the devotees look forward to the time they can retire, because then they can just fully get into devotional service. And that's just wonderful. And, you know, as we say, in a sort of tongue-in-cheek way, but it's also not tongue-in-cheek, it's also real, that you should try and find a situation where you work as little as possible and get as much money as possible. And then you can do as much devotion, you can do lots of devotional service in the meantime also, and maintain your family and like that. Mm-hmm. And if you can just do no work and just do devotional service, well, that's the best. So, this, you see, these three, five letters, pa, pa, ba, ba, and ma, they're called the pa varga. I hope I'm not sort of losing any of you here in the technicalities of the Sanskrit language, but it's called the pa varga. The varga means the group, really, that begins with pa. Yeah, the pa varga. And the pa varga, in this context, as we described it, that's the process of material existence. But the process of liberation, as mentioned here, is apavarga. Apavarga. So, dharmasya hi apavargasya. Your dharma, your occupational activities, they're definitely meant for liberation and not for just being entangled and just getting lost in material existence. And they should never be used for material gain. So again, this is very a clear statement. You're doing your occupational duties, you know, whatever that may be. In Kali Yuga, it's not so much according to real Varnashram, except, you know, Grihastha Ashram sort of rules. It's the main ashram. But otherwise, you know, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, those divisions are not so prominent. But anyway, everyone or the great majority of people have some occupational activity. So whatever it is, whatever it may be, the verse is saying, Sudha Goswami speaking and saying, it should never be used for material gain. Never be used for material gain. Just the very typical idea, which Prabhupada talks about here, the general tendency. Prabhupada says, there are others who consider that all kinds of different occupational engagements, including those of religion, are meant for material gain. Yeah, including religion. I want to speak of the work you do, but even your religious, whatever religious program you have, it's intended for material gain, and there's so many people, and even you could say it's just generally considered like that, that yesterday, right, was Kavadi Day in Tonga. I don't know if any of you observed it or somehow, you know, whatever, witnessed. I hope none of you, you know, carried Kavadi yesterday. I mean, I don't expect you did at all. But from what I hear, many people did. And for what? They usually take a vow, isn't it? I remember we had this one man long time ago when we were in Cato Ridge, and he owned the business Natal, it was something like Natal Plumbers. He was a relatively somewhat successful plumbing business. And he'd come every Sunday, and he was kind of involved. And then Kavadi came up. And he told us, you know, I'm not coming this Sunday, or I'm not coming, I'm carrying Kavadi. Oh my God. He said, yeah, I took a vow. I'm going to carry Kavadi for 3 years. And I forget exactly what he was going to get, but he was going to get something, you know. So he thought, or said, or who knows whether he did or not. But what is the idea? At least as I understand, you know, I've been there a few times, and even I was there twice in Kuala Lumpur, where they have this massive Kavadi. Ooh, there's like a million people. Yeah, about a million people come. And they, not everyone of course carries Kavadi or pulls a chariot or, you know, hangs hooks in them and all that sort of stuff. But so many of them, you know, they carry pots and mango leaves and, you know, all the sort of attendant paraphernalia. And they all climb up to a cave. What's it called? Anyway, there's some caves up there, right in Kuala Lumpur. And out in front is the biggest statue of Murugan in the world. He's like, I think, 80 or 100 feet high. Really big. There's something about the caves. Anyway, if you look on the, they call it Taipusam. If you look on the internet, you'll see it's just a monster. It is just monstrous. So anyway, they're doing it for material gain. And as I understand, they're doing it only for material gain. They're not even doing it to any degree with some idea of liberation, getting out of the material world, leaving this all behind. There's not even a small degree of that, as I understand. So this is that sort of thing. And you know what to speak of, give us this day our daily bread. In Christianity, God has a big bakery in the sky. And if we ask Him nicely, then we may get a free loaf. And save, how much is a loaf of bread now? 12 rands. We save 12 rands. We got the mercy. And so on and so on, you know. So, but what the Bhagavatam is saying, and this is right in the beginning, is that all dharma on any level, whether you say occupational duties, whether you say in a narrower sense religion, whatever, however you look on the term, but the Bhagavatam is saying these things should never be done for material gain. In other words, Srimad Bhagavatam has just shot down in flames 99% or something like that of all religiosity as it's practiced on this planet, isn't it? Because even the Muslims, you know what they say. If you're a good Muslim, then you go to heaven and you get a whole collection of girls, right? A whole team of them. Now, if that's not the idea of material gain, I don't know what is. Yeah. Okay, so, so that's the second point. First point is that all dharma on any level is definitely meant for ultimate liberation. Even if you're doing your duty to maintain your family and all that, still it's meant for ultimate gain, and you're maintaining your family through your occupational duty is not meant to mean an extravagant lifestyle. But just, you maintain your family as a duty like that. But the ultimate goal is for liberation. Second point, these things should never be done just for material gain. And third point, that according to the sages, Smrita, the sages, as described by the sages, anyone who is engaged in the ultimate occupational duty, not just any occupational duty, but the ultimate one. And what is that? That's pure devotional service, is the ultimate occupational duty. Anyone engaged in devotional service who gets material gain through devotional service should never use that for sense gratification. In other words, a devotee may, and sometimes at least some do, receive like donations and different facilities from others on the basis of their devotional service. This happens, at least in some cases. But all those different things that come on the basis of one's engagement in devotional service should never be used for sense gratification, because it just pollutes the whole process. And your devotional service which is the way to ultimate liberation, your devotional service then ceases to be pure devotional service and becomes some sort of mishra, like some sort of karma mishra bhakti. Now you're trying to do devotional service, but it's mixed. It's mixed. Because on the basis of it, something is coming your way, but you're using it just for sense gratification. You're not using it in devotional service. In further devotional service. Yeah. So these are all very, very important points. And we should understand. We should try to understand, and, you know, gradually at least, we should become clear in our understanding of the fact that sense gratification through the senses of this material body, it doesn't actually give satisfaction. It gives something. It gives some stimulation. Eat, sleep, mate, defend, and, you know, have different facilities. You know, have a lanika instead of a, you know, a more sort of humble car. So, in different ways, the senses of the material body can be and are unavoidably stimulated. You see things, you hear things, all these things are going on because we have these material bodies which have these senses, and we're living in the material world which is just full of sensory phenomena. So the senses become stimulated, and some feeling and some type of experience comes from that, which in some cases is pleasurable. Of course, in many cases, it's not pleasurable. And in some cases, it's downright painful. Ah, it's amazing. So devotee means a person who is understanding and seeing this. And of course, advanced devotee means they see this vividly. And on the basis of seeing it so clearly through experience and through observing what happens with people and living entities in their lives, then a devotee is a person who turns his or her back on the process of sense gratification. Whatever may come, like obviously, we eat nice prasadam. Was the prasadam nice last night at the program? Was it nice? Was it medium? Or was it a little, you know, otherwise?
13%, right?
Did you hear it was nice, or did you experience it was nice? So anyway, prasadam is nice, usually. Yeah, sometimes something goes wrong, but usually prasadam is nice. And you enjoy it. The senses become stimulated. It's a fact. And it's nice. So, without making some big effort to get sense gratification by, you know, acquiring different facilities and really equipping ourselves with all sorts of paraphernalia for stimulating the senses. Without doing that, some sense gratification will come anyway. It's just going to come. You can't avoid it. But a devotee is a person who does not seek out that. A devotee is a person who seeks out devotional service, association with devotees, hearing and chanting about Krishna and all these different things, and whatever sense gratification comes, well, you know, it just comes. But the devotee is not attached to that. The devotee is attached to serving Krishna and developing Krishna consciousness. Yes, so. So this is a very important point, that we as aspiring devotees, you know, beginning devotees, or devotees on different levels, we should try to understand this point and these points that are being made here. And if we can do like that, it'll help us become more absorbed in devotional service. And as you actually become more absorbed in devotional service, devotional activities, because you're connecting with Krishna more and more strongly, then the experience of transcendental pleasure and transcendental consciousness develops more and more, better and better. And it's wonderful. Yes. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. And we means Satchikumar Prabhu and I, we have to go in a couple of in an hour even or something like that. So, and we won't be back for the time being. So thank you to all of you for your association, the nice prasadam, and assistance and service. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.